convention and conference luncheon hosted by the Braille Revival League of California and California Library Users of California, blah, 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 California Library Users of America. Welcome. And I'm Judy Wilkinson, the president of Library Users, and I welcome you, and I'm going to give the mic to my wonderful co-host, Steve Fort, who in his wonderful mellifluous voice will welcome you as well. Steve, handing you the...
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming. I'm Steve Fort, president of Braille Revival League of California. And I'm really delighted that all of you are here, and we're not doing the Braille Challenge this time, but we will next time. And again, thank you all for coming, and here's Judy.
Okay. You know, we're all going to have our salad, and then we're going to move very quickly because we do have to be out here, and we have a fabulous speaker for our luncheon, so we want to give her all the time we can. So she's going to have to talk over the noise and get her a few mouthfuls in here and there. But I'm going to go now for a bit, and we'll be back with you in a few minutes. Welcome again. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to get on to start our program. And to introduce our guest, I'm going to bring on Library Users, California Library Users Board Member, Pamela Metz. And she's got lots of other hats. You know how many chapters she's president of and all that. Well, no, you're interim president of GDUC, remember? Yeah. So here we go, Pam.
Yay, Pam.
Oh, thanks, you guys. I'm Pam Metz, and I'm going to introduce our speaker. I met her a year ago, June, at Animal Rescue. And, we were there promoting the mud strut, but unfortunately we had to cancel that year. But she and her husband walked up to us, and her dog barked at Kingston. And you have to understand her dog. Her dog is the diva of all divas. She does not like dogs. Her nose goes up, her tail curls up, and she just throws her head up. So Kingston just looked at her and said, okay, right, really? Okay, and laid back down and went to sleep. And we have been fast friends since then. She's a fantastic lady. She invited Ken and I to speak at Topeka Elementary School with their blind and visually impaired kids. We have a ball together. And when she comes to my house, she sits on the floor, and Kingston and Kari are basically in her lap. So I call her the Pied Piper of dogs. So I'm very proud to introduce one of my best friends, Laura.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, dear Pam. I am thrilled to be here with all of you, and I again thank Pam Metz and Judy Wilkinson for their kind invitation for me to be here today. As an author, literacy advocate and tutor, animal welfare activist, dog fanatic, and a person with a variety of lifelong vision impairments, I am so grateful for the services provided by libraries, Braille institutions, teachers, the California Council of the Blind, puppy raisers, guide dogs, trainers, and schools, and shelters and rescue groups. Through my book-related work, it has been a blessing to meet so many talented and dedicated people involved in these fields. I'm invited to appear in the U.S. and abroad at learning institutions, nonprofits, and special events relating to literacy and animal welfare, where it is a joy to sign books and engage in meaningful dialogue with young students and fans of all ages. In recognition of Braille and the fact that today's luncheon is hosted in part by the Braille Revival League, I would like to note that my children's books are available for order in Braille. And this all happened after a teacher of the visually impaired who admired my books asked my permission to transcribe them to Braille for use in her classes. I had never before seen a Braille book or touched Braille print. The process fascinated me. The files are now with the Midwestern Braille Volunteers in St. Louis, who create copies for a minimal fee that strictly supports their organization. I love that, and the fact that visually impaired readers can also enjoy and learn from my books. On an international Braille-related note, I would like to mention that recently I found out about a school for the partially sighted and fully blind in Uganda that is in dire need of Braille text, Braille textbooks, and Braille literature. I found out that the government supplies the school with books, but 90% of them are not Braille. Yes. So the incredible students, in order to help themselves learn, to learn what they wish and learn what they need, have taken it upon themselves to use precious time to transcribe a lot of the English and history textbooks that are donated by the government into Braille. So while the partially sighted students painstakingly read text aloud, the blind students type. Their sheer determination has captivated me. Some of the school staff shell out their own hard-earned money to install and update text-to-speech software that they are fortunate to have, and to have the one embossing printer that the school was donated repaired. This all costs a great deal of money, and for them, it is a great hardship. I applaud these students and the staff, and I'm currently looking into ways to directly help them. Fortunately, one of my brothers is currently residing in Uganda through January, and he has recently been able to make some phone calls on my behalf and act as a go-between. For anyone here who may be able in any manner to help this school, please feel free to contact me at your convenience for details, and I thank you for allowing me to share that with you today. Ruby Dee and the Lazy Day, my second children's book, was inspired by many things, including a humorous real-life kangaroo story that was told to me by a dear Australian friend. The theme is the consequence of laziness, which creates opportunity for dialogue with youngsters about, among other things, why no one should be lazy about reading. My first children's book, Tommy the Throwaway Dog, is based on a true story with a happy ending and has educated and inspired thousands of people in many countries. As some of you already know, as a puppy, Tommy was horrifically abused and then thrown away by his first owner. Luck stepped in when a city worker accidentally discovered Tommy. Justice stepped in when a person who knows Tommy's first owner saw a subsequent news report about Tommy's rescue and then put two and two together and filed a report with the police. The abuse inflicted on Tommy is not mentioned in the children's book. However, the matter is brought to light during certain Q&As, which allows for important educational dialogue with children. Proceeds and even books are donated to select nonprofits, and I am proud that the book is translated into Spanish and has been turned into a full-stage musical, a puppet show, and an Apple iTunes iBook with original music and narration, and is part of an educational DVD. In a little while, I am going to take a few minutes to read aloud Tommy the Throwaway Dog and answer a few questions. So thank you very much, everyone. It was lovely to read this speech to you, and I'll be back at the mic again in a short bit. Thank you.
Oh, it won't happen in the show.
but I will send it over there. We will improve that path.
My
and
goodness.
You can
oh, my God. My God. Judy, that is the most amazing and beautiful news. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
He's busy.
I have to give Steve a hand right now. And my book is falling.
Oh, I guess Kingston wants to read it.
Uh-oh, did Carly bite it?
Eat it?
Oh, not at all. I'm just going to... There we go.
Okay.
So, give me you get your dinner and have a
sure, sure.
I'm going to give a big hug.
Two big hugs.
That is the most beautiful. And I'm going to take care of the cost of not only the shipping, but the insurance.
Since you're the same age as him,
I understand. I have friends that live in Nepal, same thing. No extra.
He's 67. Oh, you're younger, a little younger than him, right?
I turned 67 in September.
Okay, you guys are the same age. It's really 68 in September.
Oh, okay. We're pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good shape.
We were at Marshall High School together.
You know, they're having a 50th anniversary. I mean, it's after Union, Marshall.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Ken said he didn't know if he's going to go because he's a transfer student. He wasn't there that long. But he rode on the bus and rode.
Yes.
Rich, deep, Ken, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, you can wait.
I think after you guys are different schools.
Yeah.
And Ken said, and he and Mitch, between he and Mitch,
hello.
They got
thank you so much.
Bus drivers because
yes.
Because they started playing.
You know,
music
many people
play.
Are
baseball.
Well, we had a PE inspector.
If you can learn.
Yes, you may
have.
Yeah. Mr. Marcucci.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, and met his wife.
Where is
your
really?
Wife?
Oh, I'm going to have to pack
my
money.
Really? 2 years ago.
Okay.
At the foundation. With the
running around. Oh.
Okay.
Right before he retired.
And have a peaceful sit down and eat my lunch. I'll be much happier doing that. Laura is over here.
Hello.
Hello.
I believe that I've met you before.
Yeah, you did it at Aisha.
That's right. It's been too long. Excuse me, puppy. I have to get some
time. Kingston, you need
down.
To like...
Get your nose down.
Where do you think you're going, huh? Where do you think you're going? Get your behind, your behind, and back under that table.
They do what kids do if they think the grown-ups are involved in something, though.
Get under there.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Take advantage of their life.
Get on down.
It's because Laura got up.
Exactly. I'm telling you, he's just like crazy about it.
That is something.
Mm-hmm. My dog sit on the floor in her lap. And then if you stop petting one, that one gives up and like, why you stop? And she just sits there and it's like, I gotta go with you, sister, and keep on petting them all. Don't pet them.
Yes, yes.
I got one good happy with the red sock for one.
Oh, no.
So before I already received the box.
Yes. And I also...
Do I play again today?
No, this is the travel day. For Laura's...
For Boston?
Yeah.
They play tomorrow.
Boston and Detroit.
They play tomorrow because the Dodgers play tonight.
Gloria.
Oh, yeah. How is that series going?
Three to two.
Dodgers. Dodgers are two.
I'm really
sorry.
Three to two.
They're going back to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She's inspiring.
Mm-hmm. That's I miss Mrs. Kennedy because they all got it.
And as they believe that God has made it, they don't care. That's okay. You know, there'll never be a day God was there.
So I'm going back to
I grew up in LA.
Yeah.
But I moved to Orange County. God, I lived down there almost 30 years. So I take my kids to Angel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you grew up with Vic Scully, and I grew up in L.A. Mm-hmm. And moved to Northern California.
He's still doing their game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I grew up listening to Ken.
Will turn on the radio with a heartbeat defender. Yeah. Wow. Calling the game.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Sit. You sit. Wow.
He's still one of the best out there.
Oh, yeah.
He is.
He really
he's
is.
Like, he's like
even I like
him.
A little bit. You know what? He's still waving. He does better. He does better on TV than most guys do on radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
I know.
But you know, right. He said Ken met him a couple of years ago. And
really?
What he told Ken is that he had one of his wife had visual problems. He was macular or something. And he learned to be more descriptive.
That makes sense. That sure makes sense. Yeah. He is so good. That's interesting.
And he's very much he will describe down to the
level. Yes, he will. Even colors. Yeah. Describe the colors in the day of the sky. I mean, nobody does that.
And that's why, because I think it was his wife that was visually impaired.
That is so interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah.
But it sure does make sense.
And they went to a sportsman luncheon, and that's where he met him. It was for the guy who called the Spanish game.
You're
which
right.
Is yeah. Oh. It was being held for him, and Vince was there.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. So they had a good time. And Ken said that he has to be one of the most humble men that he's ever
met. He sure seems that way. He sure comes across that way.
And he was so excited. I don't think he came back on his feet for a week after being But
what?
My brother was on when the Dodgers hired Joe Torre to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And these different people got up to make the march.
My
brother Gary was telling me that Vince Scully was speaking to him.
Wow.
Thank you for that.
Couldn't Ken Smith say that he was.
Thank you so much.
Vince Scully was the heat of the game. Vince Scully was the heat of
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. I just want to let you know that I am back now, and I'm going to read aloud Tommy the Throwaway Dog. And as was done this morning at the wonderful California Library Users Meeting where I read Ruby Dee and the Lazy Day, please, during the reading, feel free to imagine yourselves once again as young children. Don't be shy about doing that. I'm going to begin with Tommy the Throwaway Dog, and I will provide a few descriptions for some of the illustrations that are most important and that happen to be some of my favorites. And after the reading, I will be glad to take a few questions. Thank you so much, everyone. And I'll begin now with Tommy the Throwaway Dog. One autumn day, when the colored leaves were falling and the air was turning chilly, a trash collector was on his rounds when he discovered a black dog inside a trash can. The dog was covered in a big pile of trash. It seemed as though someone had simply thrown the dog away. The man noticed that the dog had no collar. He did not see any tags anywhere either. The dog was very, very scared and very, very hurt and very, very sad. He looked at the man and the man looked at him. The kind man called the police right away. When the policeman arrived, he carefully took the dog out of the trash can and brushed away the mess and the dirt. He was very saddened by what he saw. The dog started to shake with fear. The kind policeman felt bad for the dog. After a few minutes, the dog surprised the policeman by wagging his tail. Then he stopped shaking. The policeman took some photographs, gently put the dog into his police car, and took him to the veterinarian. And this illustration here is one of my favorites and is a favorite of many children because It depicts a beautiful, properly drawn police car with the policeman at the wheel, with the red, white, and blue lights flashing, and Tommy with his head sticking out of the back window looking around. It is beyond adorable. The kind veterinarian examined the dog. The dog needed a lot of care, including medicine, surgery, and rest. He had been badly hurt. Still, the dog wagged his tail. The veterinarian smiled at the dog and patted him on the head. And that is exactly what we see in this illustration. After his time in the animal hospital, the dog was taken to the animal shelter. The kind shelter people gave him a bed, some toys, a lot of hugs, and a lot of good food and vitamins. And in this illustration, which is very colorful, this dog is sitting on a little bed with the hand of one of the shelter workers that contains a dog toy, and the hand is extended to the dog, and one of the dog's paws is extended to the shelter worker. All these things were new to him. He did not know what to do with them or think about them, so he just stared. Yet, to the delight of the shelter staff, the dog wagged his tail. The shelter people named him Tommy the Throwaway Dog. Meanwhile, a kind person who knew the owner of the dog found out what happened and went to the police to file a report. Soon after, the mean person who hurt Tommy was arrested and put in jail. Many people were happy to see justice served. The shelter people continued to work very hard to care for Tommy. Every day, he got better and better. He ate his food, learned how to play with all the toys, and enjoyed seeing everyone at the shelter. He ran in the small backyard and chased after things. He loved to play. And this illustration always brings a smile to my heart because Tommy is running in the backyard, filled with grass and flowers and trees, and a very happy look on his face. He was even happy when he had to go to the veterinarian for checkups. He wagged his tail. As time went on, the shelter needed money to help support Tommy's care. They asked for donations, and soon after, the shelter started to receive money, food, and toys from many kind people. Some even called or wrote letters asking about Tommy. Eventually, there were requests to adopt him. One day, Tommy was offered a new home with a special family who would love him and help him forget all about the scary time. And in this illustration, we see two lovely people bending down, smiling at Tommy, and hugging him. The shelter people would miss him very much, but they knew that it was time to say goodbye and that Tommy would be happy to finally have a real home. Everyone at the shelter was thankful and promised to visit Tommy whenever they could. When Tommy found out he had a new home, Tommy wagged his tail, and he hasn't stopped wagging his tail ever since. The end. I will applaud it too. I do adore the happy ending of this story, and it has brought a tear to the eyes of many, including very young children. And I'm very pleased to state that because what I love the most, including about my book-related work, is the opportunity to not only share, but to receive empathy for Tommy and for all needy animals. And I now would love to take the opportunity for the time that I've been allotted to answer questions. Who would like to ask the first question? We have a question back there, and I'm going to bring the microphone over. Thank you so much.
Honey, I'm sorry. I didn't have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. If anybody has a question, please just raise your hand, and I'd be glad to bring the microphone over. Are there any questions? Anybody? Well, if you change your mind, we have somebody back here. Hello. Here's the microphone for you.
Yes, where can I buy this book at?
Yes, thank you. The books, many people order them through Amazon, through Barnes & Noble, sometimes through the publishing company, though usually it's better to order them through the publishing company if they're ordered in a large amount. But they are offered at wholesale through the publisher, which is Mirror Publishing of Milwaukee. But most people do order them through Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and I think through Sears.com and even Tower.com. I have a few copies that are available for sale, though my stash has run quite low, but sometimes people buy them directly from me at special events and at schools. And thank you so much. Do we have any other questions about Tommy or any of the people in the story or anything else? Hello.
Hi. My name is Robert. I was just wondering what made you write the book in the first place.
I love that question, and it's a question that I've been asked and have answered so many times, and I love it. What inspired me to write the story was the deep empathy that I had for a dog that I found out about completely by accident. What happened to him touched my heart. It still touches my heart today. And I don't think I'm ever going to feel any differently about Tommy. So it really was sheer empathy. And the way that the journalist who put together the first television news story about Tommy, the way that he put the story together also got to me. I also happened to see incredibly graphic photos that were contained in the news story and that were part of the shelter's site. And I saw the pictures the same day that I'd read the story, and everything together touched me and really changed my life. But honestly and simply, it was empathy. And thank you so much for that question. Do we have any other questions? Back here. Thank you so much. And here's the microphone.
Have you heard anything in how Tommy's still doing with his family? Is he still doing well?
I am so glad that you asked that. Recently, I was informed that dear, sweet Tommy was diagnosed with cancer. However, although he had to go through major, and I mean major, surgery, the positive news is, and I'm so glad that I have some positive news about it, the tests revealed that cancer did not spread. And so I will expect, as I always have, that Tommy will live a very long and happy life. Yes, indeed. He deserves that and nothing less. And he is still very, very happy with the beautiful family that adopted him. And my book actually is dedicated to all the kind people involved with Tommy, including the family that adopted him. Hello.
Hi. Does Tommy still have, well, in human terms, it would be post-traumatic stress, PTSD. Does Tommy still get scared of things that wouldn't scare a dog who was always treated well?
That is a fantastic question, and I'm glad to tell you that, as you heard in the children's story in the book, when he was discovered in the nick of time, when he was near death, that little puppy wagged his tail in spite of what had been done to him, all that he had suffered. He wagged his tail, and literally from that day on, never had any fear of any people or dogs. Amazing, yes, but a testament to what a beautiful spirit he was born with and what a wonderful dog he always has been. Thank you for that fabulous question.
The session does start. It's at just one, past one now. So I want to thank Pam for bringing Laura to us and thank Laura so much for this wonderful presentation.
You are welcome, and I thank you all so very much.
Are they just starting to serve dessert?
Yeah. Oh, well.
If
they're just starting to serve dessert, if there are more questions, did we? I think we'll just let people have their dessert. It's a good ending point. So enjoy your day. If we're late, you know the fudge lady who loves fudge will understand that we all had to stay for dessert. So we'll all tell Donna that we had to stay, that we had to stay for dessert. Ladies and gentlemen, I was just reminded, Laura is going to send me the address where, you know, that does the brailing of her book, and I'll not only put it on the library users listserv, but I'll put it on the president's list and the CCBL list as well, so that people can have that information about where to get the book in braille.